has no kingdom for him. He has God to bless him despite the situation. No matter what anyone has planned, God's plan. God ultimately has the final say. Yes, we thank God for that. And actually, this man, for our scripture reading, which will be coming from that, I mean, Isaiah chapter 28, we're going to read verses 9 and 11 by reading verse 13 together. Verses 9 through 13 of Isaiah chapter 28. And this is a continuation of what we were last week. Not losing our spiritual equilibrium. Amen. Verse 9 reads,
whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward, and be broken and snagged and taken.
The Lord has blessed to the reader of the word. Come say the word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
Blessed Lord.
Blessed Lord.
You may be seated. Amen. Once again, it's a continuation of what went over last week. Losing our spiritual equilibrium. Amen. And once again, we said, when you lose your spiritual equilibrium, that means there's not a proper balance. Amen. Between the spiritual and the natural. The devil knows that if he can get our attention drawn more to the natural than the spiritual, then that makes us unfruitful in Christ. It doesn't mean we're not in church, but we're not spiritually productive. Amen. We just become a part of the silhouette, a part of the furnishings in the church. So the devil is constantly trying to make us unfruitful by getting us to focus on the natural instead of the spiritual. And Jesus said, but seek ye first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all the other worldly things, he said, will be added unto us. So it's incumbent upon us, it's necessary. God places a direct necessity upon us to seek what? First
the kingdom.
The kingdom of God.
Yes.
Now, if we don't do that first, then we get out of balance or we lose our spiritual equilibrium. Amen.
Yes.
So last week we went over, we went over King Hezekiah, which we'll continue on tonight. And the reason we went over that, here a little, there a little, the word of God is given to us, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, because we cannot just isolate scriptures.
Right.
Amen. Because in isolating scriptures, we will make a mistake or be an error. Well, Hezekiah, the story of Hezekiah is actually in three books. And each book gives a little different detail. Amen. The first book is 2 Kings chapter 18. And from chapter 18 through 20, 2 Kings gives one account of the life of Hezekiah. And then 2 Chronicles, I think it starts from 29 to 32 of 2 Chronicles, give another account of the life of Hezekiah. And then Isaiah chapter 36 through 39 gives another account. And each book focuses on something a little different. Now, Hezekiah was the first king after the divided nation, when David was king. He was the first king, amen, the Bible said, to restore spirituality back in Israel. Because Israel had gone into spiritual decadence. Amen. From David to Hezekiah was approximately 335 years. Can you imagine the people of God for 335 years went into gross idolatry? Amen. Spiritual decadence. They were no longer worshiping and serving God the true way. For how long? 335 years. So all After King David, there was a progressive decline, losing their spiritual equilibrium. Can you imagine that? 335 years. Then Hezekiah steps on the scene. After 335 years, and the Bible says he restored, he calls a spiritual reformation in Israel to the point that God said there was not a king before him, like him, nor a king after him. He restored the spiritual balance of equilibrium back into Israel. And how did he accomplish it? The number one thing he had to do was bring their minds and their attentions back to God. He destroyed the idols. He destroyed the high places. He destroyed the hills. They even had started practicing idolatry right in the church, the house of God. So what Hezekiah did is he had to keep the priests and the high priest to restore spiritual order back in the house of God. Spiritual reformation, he also appealed to the Israelites. He told them, he said, brothers, this is not the way God wants you to do it. So he sent letters throughout all of Israel, not just Judah and Benjamin, but he sent a letter throughout all of Israel saying, we're restoring the right worship. We're bringing back the balance spiritually. And when they received the letters, they laughed in the scorn and said, you must be crazy. We're happy where we are. Amen. So Hezekiah thought was so right. He didn't just want to be king and restore the spiritual status back to just Judah, but he reached out to Israel. And I believe Naphtali and only three other tribes, I believe Naphtali, Ephraim, and one other tribe sent some representatives. But that's what happens when our lives get out of spiritual balance. When someone tries to bring us back to the spiritual effects, we think they're crazy because it's abnormal. When spirituality is normal, to be opposite of God is abnormal. Amen. So the first thing that King Hezekiah did when he did restore Reformation is that the king before him, his father, was under tribute to the king of Assyria, which would have been Sennacherib. And the first thing he did was he cut off tribute. He said, well, no, our trust, our confidence is not going to be in King of Assyria. Our trust, our hope, and our confidence will be in God. Amen. So his father had hired the Assyrians when Syria came to attack them as a defense. Well, Hezekiah said, no, we're going to leave the holy of the Lord. So he cut off the tribute and would not pay, and that's why Sennacherib wanted to come and destroy Judah because he refused to honor the tribute that his father had set up. Amen. What was Hezekiah saying? He said, in essence, though my parents did it, he said, I cannot do this. My honor, my glory has to be to God. So when we want to restore our spiritual equilibrium and get back what God wants us to do, the number one thing we have to do is remove everything that has been in the place of God. Right. Number one. Amen. You've got to remove, after you get back in the house of God, anything that was a dependence other than God, you have to cut that off. And Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, who made his flesh his arm. But what makes him cursed, the latter part said, whose heart departeth from God. Well, that's when you're losing your spiritual balance. Amen. When your dependency is more on man and people than God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So that brings us to, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 36. It brings us to Isaiah chapter 36. Amen. And you don't have to go there yet. I'm just going to read a little bit. It says, Isaiah 36, 1 through 9 explains how Sennacherib and the Assyrians assumed that Hezekiah trusted in Egypt for help, because Hosea, who was the king of Israel, went down and hired the Egyptians to help them. Amen. You have to read read about success, all right? So I gave you the chapters. I want to try and fill in as much as I can for you. But Hosea was the king of Israel. When he was afraid of the attack that was coming against him, went and hired the king of Egypt to help. But he was breaking one of God's commandments. When you lose your equilibrium, we don't go by the word of God. We start being governed more by man. And then let's go to Isaiah chapter 30, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Sennacherib thought that the king of Judah, who was in Hezekiah, had the same mindset of the dependency on the king of Egypt that Hosea, who was the king of Israel, had. They assumed it. And remember, if you read, I believe it's in 2 Kings chapter 16, I believe it is, Sennacherib and the Assyrians completely annihilated Israel. And they took Israel captive back to their lands, and they brought their people and put them in the land of Israel or Samaria. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Am I giving y'all too much detail? No, it looks like y'all are losing one.
It's all right, sir.
But what he did was Hosea, H-O-S-E-A-S-H-E-A, when he saw that the Assyrian was coming, he went and hired the Egyptians to help them. But God had already given them the commandment, woe unto them that go down into Egypt for help. Amen? Mm-hmm. So remember that Hezekiah started spiritual reformation. You do not start spiritual reformation by disobeying God.
Right.
Amen. So we know, though Sennacherib assumed that Judah was dependent on Egypt, because why would they break off the tribute? Amen. Amen. Let me bring it to verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 30. It says, this is one of the signs we're losing our spiritual balance. War unto the what? That's the number one sign. To let us know when we are not being what God wants us to be, we become rebellious. Amen. And we no longer listen to God. But we listen to all of the other voices. All of the other influences. So Isaiah calls them the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel, but
not of me.
This is when we know that spiritually we are out of tune. Amen. First we rebel, and then we refuse to take counsel of God. And they're covered with a covering, but not of my spirit. God said, you're depending on the wrong things. That's when our spirituality is not in balance. Amen. We first rebel against God, then we can hear the word of God, but then we do not follow his word, so we do not take his counsel. Then our dependency is not on God's spirit, but all of the other spirits that are influencing us. So that they may add what?
Sin
to sin. These are our indicators when we have lost our spiritual equilibrium. We rebel against God. We do not take counsel from God. We no longer depend on God's spirit. And then to make it even worse, we add sin to sin. That's a life that's completely out of balance with God. And verse 2. That walk will go down into
Egypt.
So God already said, hey, you can't depend on Egypt for help. Egypt is symbolic of what?
The world.
The world. Amen. So either we live according to God's standards, or we live by the influences of
the world.
The world. To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Verse 3 said, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your and trust in the shadow of Egypt your
confusion.
My life, I don't know what to do. Confusion. Spiritual balance is off. Because when we are spiritually in tune, we know where our help comes from, and our help comes from who?
The Lord.
From the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the signs that we're going in the wrong direction. If we first rebel against God, then when we rebel, we refuse. He said, I know God wants me to do this, but can't do that. So we rebel, and then we do not follow the word of God. And then when we rebel and do not follow the word of God, we depend on other things than God's Spirit. Amen. And then when we depend on other things besides God's Spirit, we try to cover our wrong. They try to cover, but not with God's Spirit. So when you're wrong and you're going the wrong direction, you try to cover your wrong the way of the world. And that's not acceptable with God. Amen. But then, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Now, last week we did go over how God honored Hezekiah. Amen. But along Hezekiah, God allowed some things to happen. Amen. So we're going to start from chapter 32, verse 1. It says, after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Egypt, and he camped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. Now, one thing of particular notice is this. Sennacherib had already conquered many other cities in Judah. He had already conquered 46 cities in Judah. And Judah was representation of the true God. The last city that he needed to conquer was Jerusalem. Alright, so he said, you know what? I keep hearing all this talk about God. He said, look what I've already conquered. This city and that city. He laid it on Lachish. All the regions of Judah he had conquered, but he had not yet conquered
Jerusalem.
Come on. That's what Hezekiah had already reestablished. The true worship. Amen. That's why it's so important in this day and age that we live in. Don't get caught up in false worship.
Come on.
Because false worship seems a false cover.
Amen.
But when we're in the true worship, amen. Somebody say, I got somebody else fighting my battles.
Right.
We don't have to fight our battles. So,
right.
Verse 2 said, and when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem. Now he had already covered everything around Jerusalem. This was still the land of God. But they had not yet restored true worship. He took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the foundation of the fountains, which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains, and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the king of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up the wall that was broken and raised it to the towers and another wall without and repaired Millo, the city of David, and made darts and shields in the bottom. Hezekiah is no longer dependent on anything but God. Amen. In our lives, our greatest dependency has to be on God.
Amen.
We cannot depend on a system. Amen. We do not depend on a system. We depend on God. He said, he sent captains of war over the people in verse 32. Now this is what he tells them. He says, be strong and
Lord.
Courageous.
Yes.
Hezekiah tells them in verse 7, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed. For the king of Assyria, not for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with
us
than with
him.
But they were outnumbered. But when we get out of spiritual balance, we begin to see things through our natural eyes and not our spiritual eyes. It's just like when they went to get Elijah, and Elijah's servant went out and said, Elijah, whoa, we are surrounded. What are we going to do? Elijah said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And the servant looked at Elijah and said, you must be nuts. It's just me and you. How can there be more with us than there be with them?
Come on,
amen.
Come on.
Well, the servant was looking through his.
Come on.
Hallelujah. But Elijah was looking through the eyes of faith.
Come on.
So Elijah said, Lord, he prayed. He said, Lord, open the eyes of the young man that he may see. Tonight, Amen. When you look, he said, by the law, he said, the mountains are filled with chariots of fire.
Hallelujah.
That means that God was coming to fight the battle.
Amen.
Amen. What I'm saying tonight is, we can't get so caught up in what's happening around us. Because they that be with us are what?
More.
Can I get some help?
Hallelujah.
Not by sight. Amen. Yes. So it tells them to be strong. Verse 8, he said, with them is the arm of flesh. Amen. Sometimes it seems like we're just outnumbered. Amen. It just seems like there's no hope. But always remember, as long as your life is in tune with God, there's hope.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That God can make a way out.
No way.
No way.
So Hezekiah said, even though we're outnumbered by many, with them is all flesh, but with us is what?
The Lord our God
can
help us.
Help us.
Hallelujah.
I said with us is the Lord our God to do what?
Help us.
Amen. So we must keep our spiritual equilibrium.
Yes, sir.
We cannot allow circumstances in the event. I don't care how outnumbered we are.
Come on.
If God be
for
us, who then can be
against us?
Amen. Have you been praying?
Come on.
Then we have assurance of God. He said, I will never
leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
Come on.
And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now that's the representation from 2 Chronicles. Amen. Now let's go to 2 Kings chapter 18, 26, to read the same event. Because when you read it, if you don't know the scripture, it just doesn't tie in quite right. And we did go over this last week. But it says when they were threatened and taunting them, the people answered not a word. Why? Hezekiah had already established. Amen. That they that be with us are what?
More.
Than they that be against us. But the devil is not convinced. So what does he do? He still tries to taunt us. He tries to back us into the world according to his word. 2 Kings 18, verse 26 says, then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Josh, Joah, unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. Well, they were saying, listen, we understand. We don't want you to speak in our language so the people don't understand you. Speak to us in your own language. But how many know the devil wants to intimidate the people of God?
Right.
And how does he intimidate? It's because he can't really do anything physically. He attacks us with words in our minds. The tactics that he uses is he wants to attack us in our minds. Amen. So though they tried to quiet him down, he said, no. We want them to hear this. Because we don't want them to trust in God. We want them to be afraid by the words. Saints of God, if you make a stand for God, amen. Let them strip of the mirror thing if it's in everything. Just like Job. When God gives it back, you will have more than you had when you started off. But you got to be still and know that he's God.
Yeah.
Verse 27, Rabshakeh. This is not really his name. This is an official title, which means he was a representative. He was in the king's court. This is not his name, it was the title. Said unto them, have my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Have he not sent me to the men who sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink of their own urine with you? In other words, he's saying, you know what, if you don't listen, these are the intimidations. If you don't listen to what I'm saying, if you don't surrender, you're going to be destroyed, is what it actually means. Amen. So he's doing what? Intimidating them against God's word. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the
Jews' language.
Intimidation. How many of us know that what God has said? But our strength, our confidence has waned. So our dependency is more on all the flesh than the Lord our God. Hallelujah. God, I don't care what they say to you. I'm going to be still and know that he's God.
Amen.
Amen. The scripture said there's no weapon formed against us that shall. It didn't say the weapon won't form. It's going to come, but it will not
prosper.
Why? Because the Lord is fighting our battles.
Yes.
And he said it's not by might, nor is it by power. But God said it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Verse 29, thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you. And Hezekiah spoke in the stead on the behalf of God. And this is why we have to be so careful, even with our friends and associates. When they start saying, don't listen to that, you got to let the red flag go up.
All right, come on.
This counsel doesn't sound like something that God would tell
me. All
right. Amen. Though they are trying to influence me to go the one way, it's against the word of God.
Amen.
So I cannot rebel. Well, we know God's word and God's truth, and we go opposite, that is rebellion.
Yes,
and the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of
witchcraft.
Amen. So every time we rebel against God, it's a spirit. Witchcraft is a what?
Spirit.
It didn't say you're a witch. It said you have other, like the spirit of witchcraft. That spirit, when we rebel against God, drives us away from God. Amen. And then in our loneliness, in our solitude, when we're all by ourselves, and we're talking to God, we can't figure out what's wrong. What voices are we listening to? Amen. What voices are influencing us? What is giving us? Well, I know what God says, and this is what the devil does. These men that came from Sennacherib, Rabshakeh was intending to intimidate them to go opposite of God.
Amen.
That's when you know you have a spiritual balance. They can try, but don't lean. Don't listen. Don't give them ear. Anything that's taking you away from God, you don't need that.
Amen.
We can mess up by ourselves. The Bible says that a friend is sticking closer than a brother. Amen. A friend is sticking closer than a brother. And the Bible says a friend loveth at
all times.
That's what a real friend does. They stick. You know what? If my whole life is falling apart, a friend is still there.
Amen.
Amen. And it says a friend will love you. You messed up, then you're falling apart, the friend still loves. That's a real friend.
Hallelujah.
A friend that's a friend in hot air, you don't need that. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're trying to keep a proper spiritual balance. Keep our equilibrium. Okay? So thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Thank God. His dependency wasn't on Hezekiah.
Right.
It was on God.
Mm-hmm.
Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in
the Lord.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. If you don't trust in the Lord, who are you going to trust in?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. There's no other God that has made the promise, I will never leave you nor
forsake you.
God said, I will be with you
always.
Always, even until
end of the world.
Only God will be with you always. Hearken now unto Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present and come out to me. Then eat every one of you his own vine, and every one his own fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters until I come. And then skip down to verse 35 and 36. I'm going to do a little skipping around. We're not going to read everything. Amen. If you know you're on problem, not write down notes so we get you a copy of this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 35 says, who are they among all gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? What he was saying, he said, you know your family, the Israelites, the Samaritans, and we already conquered them. No, they were talking about was God.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we conquered them already. We in that. That's why the Bible said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen, because our help comes from God. It says, but the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king commanded them, was saying, answer him
not.
God had already, told them, he said, with us is the help of the Lord our God.
Right.
We're not dependent on man. And tonight, don't get caught up in the numbers. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because the Bible said, many there are, and broad is the way that leadeth unto
destruction.
But few there be, and straight is the gate that leadeth unto
life everlasting.
Eternal life. Don't get caught up in the numbers of the people. Learn to have an ear to hear from God.
Amen.
God, if you have the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God in you, that's a driving, a governing force. What the Holy Ghost does, the Bible, Jesus talked about the Holy Ghost. He said it's come to reprove the world of what?
Sin.
So what the Holy Ghost does, no matter what anybody tells you, it directs you.
Yes.
It guides you.
Yes.
It helps you not to make the wrong decision. So when you don't know what to do, it's time to pray. Amen. Don't let anybody else influence you. Now let's go to 2 Kings chapter 20. Let's start with verse 1. We must learn to hear from God and refuse to be intimidated. Don't allow your friend, don't allow anyone close to you to intimidate you. So, through the years, I'm very confused. Well, what do you think I'm doing? How can you do this? And I remember once I was told, well, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do the other. How are you going to do this? Well, we must have got that God.
Come on, come on.
Here we go.
Come on, man.
So, whenever I get those kind of challenges, I don't want it for me, but I ask God to do it to prove His word.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So when someone tries to back you in the corner about all you can't do and what are you going to do, I can't do anything.
All right.
But I know that my help
comes from the Lord.
That's when we have to come to God.
Yes, sir.
So when all the odds are stacked against you, that's when you need God the most.
Mm-hmm.
20 verse 1. It says, and in those days Hezekiah was sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. This is at the same time that they're being besieged by Sennacherib and the Assyrian, that Hezekiah already said what God is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden Hezekiah is sick. Mm-hmm. It's not a regular sickness. He's sick unto
death.
Wait, so you know what? Wow, I thought the king knew what he was talking about. Well, how can you be sick and you're supposed to be part of our deliverance?
Mm-hmm.
God has a test.
Yeah.
But God also has deliverance.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse, so he says, set thine house in order that I want to die. Mm-hmm. This is one of the most critical statements he made. Set his house in order. He's going to die. So as king, that means he's supposed to set up his successors, who's going to follow him, and so on and so forth. But just to give you a hint, at this time, Hezekiah was not there. Hezekiah had no seed.
Mm-hmm.
So how can he set his house in? Later on, I'll show you through the scripture how he had no seed, because this Bible said this was in the 14th year of his reign, and God said he's going to add how many years to his life? 15. Right, so which made, and he reigned how many years in Jerusalem? 29. Alright, so this is the 14th year of his reign, and we'll show you later how he did not yet have a son. So how can he set his house in order? Amen.
Amen.
That's spiritually looking,
right,
and not naturally seeing. Said, so then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I walked before thee in truth and with a God, I've done my best. Amen. He said, Lord, you said set my house in order and there's no house. How am I going to do this? What was the most important thing in all of Israel was that you had to have posterity, someone to carry on your
name.
He did not yet have this. So he knew this. And he knew God's word, so what did he do? He turned his face to the
wall.
He said, with a perfect heart, have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah
Wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have
heard
thy prayer. Amen. It's more involved than just a regular prayer. Amen. Like I said, Hezekiah had nothing to set in order, but he knew God's word, as we'll find out a little later. He said, Turn again, tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days
15 years,
and will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of
the king of Assyria.
So this is at the same time of the siege and the threat and intimidation. Mm-hmm. He gets saved. Amen. But Hezekiah knew what God has promised him. So since he knew what God had promised him, he didn't go to anybody else. So he turned his face to the what? To the wall. And he prayed. He said, Lord, remember. He said, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And we're not going to go to it, but 2 Samuel 7, verse 8 through 17. When David wanted to build God a house, he said, No, he said, I'm going to make you a house. And he made him a promise. He said that there will always be a seed of yours on the throne. Hezekiah knew this promise. How could he set his house in order? How could he have a seed to set on the throne if he did not yet have a seed? So Hezekiah knew this, and that's why God tells him, I will defend this city for my own sake and for what?
My servant David.
God remembered the promise to David. So though he had given a verdict or an edict that he was going to die, when he prayed, I'm sure Hezekiah said, God, I remember what you told King David, that he will always have a seat on the throne. God, I don't have a seed. So how can I die in this condition? That's why Isaiah didn't get out of the court. But God said, go tell Hezekiah. I want to add these years to his life. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And 2 Kings 21:1. I'm just going to show you this, and then we keep going. Amen. And I will stay on time. God. I was calling for help. Amen. Remember, this is the 14th year of his reign. Amen. Just to show you this, 2 Kings 21:1 says, Manasseh was what?
12 years old
when he began to
reign.
So, when God was now speaking to Hezekiah, Hezekiah was in the 14th year of his reign. He added 15 years to his life, which means that Manasseh was born how many years later? 3. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he died, if he died when Manasseh was 12, mm-hmm. when God is talking to him, he's added 15 years, Manasseh was not yet
born.
Alive.
Okay.
That's why when Hezekiah went to God, he was, how am I going to set my house in order? How am I going to set up a successor when I have nothing. And you made a promise. That's why we have to stand on the promises of God.
All right.
So 3 years after Hezekiah's sickness, Manasseh is born. Mm-hmm. Amen. We can stand on God's promise. Mm-hmm. We can stand on the word of God because God never changes. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm just going to finish this up. It said, and Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the wall, and he recovered. Now they say, well, you know, when God heals you, you don't need the medicine, you don't need anything else. Man, I know I'm going on some tough areas here. Everybody, I don't like medicine either, I'll tell you that either.
Yeah.
God told Hezekiah, you're going to heal him. But then he turned around and used what?
Medicine.
They made a poultice out of figs and put it on the wall. And it took how many days? 3 days before he was healed.
Hmm.
So yes, we have faith. So did Hezekiah. But God also uses medicine to heal us through his power. Because God has all power. All he had to do was speak the word, and he could have healed Hezekiah in the moment.
Right.
But he said, you know what? Sometimes God tests our faith to see what we really believe. Amen? He said, take a lump of fig, and they took and laid it upon the ball, and he recovered from the sickness. Amen? Verse 8 says, and Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? Amen. Now, God has not yet delivered him from Sennacherib. He's dealing with his own sickness at this time. Amen. And Isaiah said, this sign shall thou have to the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Yeah, I may know when God speaks something, he's going to bring it to pass. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees? They used the sundial of Ahaz to keep up with the time. He said, now shall the sun, shall it go forward or shall it go backwards? Because who has to do this?
Only
God. There's not a man. They didn't have heart. They couldn't mess with weather like they do today. So he said, well, what do you want them to do? And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow turn backwards 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. At that time, now when God moved the shadow back 10 degrees, he didn't just do it in Jerusalem, but he did it all over. You know what God did? Just imagine it. The world, the earth turns on an axis. How many of you know it goes in circles? It's not square like it used to be.
Right.
So the world is revolving. What God did to show Hezekiah he's with him, he stopped the revolution of the earth and took it back 10 degrees. I said nobody else would do that but God. So when this happened, the whole world was like, what happened? We just went back. What happened? And that brings us to here when this is King. At that time, he's a whole lot of something. The son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard. He said, listen, we know God must be with you. We heard that you were sick and your prayer see what's there. Anybody know that when God's in your midst, people want to know what's going on.
Right, come on.
When your life is in tune, people want to know. So they said, we got to come down, and this is, he's the king of Babylon now, who was the ones that eventually will conquer them. They said, we got to come and see what's going on in Jerusalem. That God changed the rotation of earth. How do you know the world's big?
Amen.
How do you know nobody else could have done that but God?
Amen.
He stopped the rotation and took it back 10 degrees. Lord, I thank you. Because only you can do that. Amen. I'm going to hurry and finish this. Because it's time for us to get out of here. But, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house and the precious things, the silver and the gold. He showed them everything. He was an outsider. Then came verse 14. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what sent these men? And from whence came they unto thee? Now Hezekiah was a great king. God honored him. Amen. But now the very blessing that God had blessed Hezekiah to have, he's using that to test him. Amen. Okay, I'm going to go to one. Just go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I'm going to show you this real fast. Go to 32 verse 31. Go to 32 verse 31. king comes and he shows the king of Babylon all of his house. Amen. But then God is angry at him. And verse 31 says, howbeit in the business of the princes of Babylon, then Hezekiah showed the whole house, he says, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. You got to be something special for God to do this with you. There had to be something for God to move the earth back. So the prince of Babylon comes to see. He said, but God left him to do what? The very blessing that Hezekiah can use from God. God is using the blessing to try him. When God makes a way for us, when we get what God has promised us, God will turn around and use what he has promised to do what? Try us. Well, why was he trying him? That he might know all that was in his heart. So he left that. Because he could have destroyed everything. He left that. He said, God, I want to know what was in your heart. Now let's go back to this. First 15 of 2 Kings chapter 20. And he said, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Now, Hezekiah was no king before like him, or no king after the divided nation like him, afterwards up to Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen. But even he lost his spiritual equilibrium. Amen. And we're going to show you how he said, behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and that which is in thy father's house, thy fathers have laid up in store unto the city, shall be carried into the very people that you show are going to conquer you, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue forth out of thee, thou shalt forget, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace. Then Hezekiah said unto God, said unto Isaiah, good is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning me. Amen. And I'm just going to show you in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and we'll close with this. All right? Now, Hezekiah had messed up. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 32, and let's go to verse 25. And 24. Let's go to 24 so we can see it. And then there's only about three more scriptures. So y'all have to stone me this time. Stone me next time. Amen. Amen. All right. So in those days, once again, that's why I say it's so important that you can't just read one scripture to get the full meaning of the sin. Amen. Then in those days, Hezekiah was sick to death, and he did what?
Prayed to the Lord.
Whatever's going on, it's time to do what?
Pray.
Unto the Lord. And he spake unto him and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah went not again according to the benefit done unto him. You know, it said, as good as God was to Hezekiah, Hezekiah did not render that same goodness back to God. That's when we lose in our battles. Amen. For his heart was
lifted up.
Amen. Now, he didn't say enough. He just said he did this, but the real issue. The reason God left there to try him, he wanted to know what was in his
heart.
His heart. God always looks at our heart. When God examines us, he doesn't examine our mouth, neither does he examine our outside. He examines our heart. For his heart was what?
Lifted
up. Therefore there was
wrath
upon him. God was angry. Amen. Because he is now the blessing that should have brought him closer to God. The blessing is causing him to elevate self. Amen.
Amen.
And upon Judah and Jerusalem, notwithstanding, thank you, Jesus, when Isaiah brought this verse, it says, that's why you can't just read one account. You got to read all of the accounts. It says, when Isaiah brought it to us, it says, notwithstanding Hezekiah, for the what?
Pride of his heart.
Pride of his heart. Amen. So you can mess up, but do what? Humble yourself. tonight, amen, have the right heart as the ministers and the priests and the multitude come forth. Have the right heart. The Bible says, only the pure in heart will see God. Tonight, don't allow your spiritual balance to be off. Don't be out of kilter. Most of all, have a right heart. Amen. The Bible says, a broken and a contrite heart of God, thou wilt not despise. The most important thing that we can do tonight is to be right in our hearts before God. Can the church say amen?